Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. On Tuesday, March the 24th, thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. Coming up, two of Kent's MPs are calling for a crackdown on catapults being used to hurt animals.
Could the Minister confirm whether, if after the round table the evidence supports it, she will consider adding catapults to the list of offensive weapons, which will enable the police to act promptly and effectively to disarm those using catapults to harm people and wildlife whilst protecting legitimate uses?
And a Kent mum calls on the government to fund research into a condition that affects her daughter.
Rett syndrome is just such a devastating condition. There's so many factors to it. It involves so many different things, epilepsy, musculoskeletal problems, inability to mobilise.
But first today, an investigation is underway following a fire at a cafe in Stroud. Now, emergency crews were called to the high street at about 4 this morning. At its height, 7 fire engines were at the scene along with a height vehicle. Reporter Sean McPolin was there earlier today.
It happened at Ramo's Cafe on the high street, and that's currently cordoned off, as well as the neighbouring slots machine business. And there's a small cordon at the back of the cafe opposite Audi and the Audi car park. As well in the car park, there's 2 fire engines, which I believe are currently monitoring the situation, as well as a small police cordon.
Police have told us they are now looking into how the fire started, and you can see plenty of pictures within the story at Kent Online. Staying in Medway, and drivers have been stuck in gridlock traffic because of a closure of the Medway tunnel. There was a power failure overnight, which led to long delays through Stroud, Gillingham and Chatham. Council bosses have apologised for the inconvenience. We can hear now from Medway councillor Alex Patterson.
So what's happened is there was a power failure last night that takes down all the systems. When the power came back on, not all of the systems were operational again. So the lights came back on, but the speed signage, for example, was not functioning.
And why does that mean cars can't travel through there?
So the issue with allowing cars to travel through the tunnel in that situation is that legislation sets minimum standards for tunnel operation. And at the moment, without that operational signage and monitoring, the tunnel doesn't meet those minimum standards. So we're not able to have it open to the public.
And I imagine you're aware of all the traffic it's caused. I mean, not just Chatham and Stroud, but it's kind of the wider Medway area has just been completely gridlocked this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. You see this vulnerability on our network. We are a key crossing point on the river. And likewise, if the M2 is closed, then we see those problems on the streets of Medway. And when the tunnel is closed, it has that impact. I would urge people to avoid the area until we get the all clear that the tunnel is operational again. There are alternative routes. I realise that's an inconvenience, a greater inconvenience for some more than others, depending on where you're trying to get to. But where possible, please use the motorway routes to cross the river and try and take a wide sweep to get where you're going.
And what work is being carried out then at the moment? Can you just talk me through what's happening at the tunnel and when it might reopen?
So we've had engineers working on this issue through the night, but without success. So we now have additional specialists en route to the site who will hopefully be able to get things operational. It's unfortunately not quite as straightforward as the usual IT solution of turn it off and turn it back on again. These are complex systems. It's a really important bit of infrastructure, and I think it underlines the scale of the infrastructure that we look after in Medway. We look after 850 kilometres of roads, and we do that every year with a budget of a little over £5 million, which has to cover all the proactive, reactive maintenance and hundreds of thousands of highway assets, including the Medway Tunnel. It's an expensive business, and this just underlines the scale of that task.
Are you hopeful that it will reopen before the evening rush, before sort of it gets to 3-4 o'clock this afternoon?
I wouldn't want to tempt fate by setting a time scale on this. All I can say is that our engineers and specialists are working as quickly as they can to get this operational again. But until further notice, I would urge people to avoid the area.
He was speaking to Lucy earlier. Now, don't forget, you can get the very latest traffic news by clicking on the travel pages at Kent Online. We've also got regular travel updates over on our sister radio station, KMFM.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories for you today: in a Kent man who repeatedly harassed his neighbours on Romney Marsh over an 18-month period has been in court. The 62-year-old was accused of hurling abuse and making threats to those living around him in Brooklyn. He also threw bricks and rocks at a gardener outside one property. He's been ordered to complete rehab and undertake a mental health treatment requirement. There's been another drop in the number of meningitis cases linked to an outbreak in Canterbury. 20 have been confirmed by a lab, with another 3 under investigation. That's fallen by 6 since yesterday. More than 10,000 vaccines have been administered, along with 13,000 antibiotics. A Kent mum who set fire to her supported accommodation while serving a suspended sentence for assault has been locked up. Amy Bray started the blaze at Copenhagen House in Gillingham last May, just months after verbally and physically attacking another woman over a noise dispute. The 32-year-old, who appeared via video link from HMP Bronzefield in Ashford, has been jailed for a total of 3 years and 4 months. Now, two of Kent's MPs are calling for a crackdown on catapults being used to hurt animals. Let's hear first from Dartford's Jim Dixon, who raised the issue in the Commons yesterday.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can I say that I'm very grateful to the Minister for her reply, but also for meeting with me and others at the end of last year to discuss the troubling and growing trend of the use of catapults to target wildlife and people in Dartford and across Kent. And I really appreciate the work she's doing to organise a round table to take place soon, where wildlife groups, farming representatives, the police and others can meet to discuss how we can take action to reverse the dangerous and illegal use of catapults. Could the Minister confirm whether, if after the round table the evidence supports it, she will consider adding catapults to the list of offensive weapons, which will enable the police to act promptly and effectively to disarm those using catapults to harm people and wildlife whilst protecting legitimate uses?
Minister.
Can I thank my honourable friend for his campaigning on this issue and for drawing attention to something that is very significant in parts of the country, seems to be on the rise, both in terms of its impact on wildlife but also on people. So I'm very pleased to have the roundtable, and I'm grateful to him for the advice he's given as we put that together. And of course, where the evidence is there, we will look to see what we can do, whether that's legislative change, whether that's more resources in terms of policing or any other measures, because this crime is unacceptable, and we are very keen to work with him on finding solutions.
It all comes as Helen Waitley, who represents Faversham and Mid Kent, has also expressed concern after visiting a local animal rescue centre. She's worried authorities don't have the tools to tackle the problem. I've been speaking to Mark Henderson from Columbine's Wildlife Care in Tenham near Sittingbourne, which was visited by Ms. Waitley.
Last year, on one day, we had 3 catapult casualties coming in from different areas, so they were not related, but so it shows that it's a widespread phenomenon. We speak to a lot of other rescues around the country, and it's something that isn't isolated to certain areas. It's widely spread. It's not just targeting specific species. Again, it can be everything from the smallest songbirds through to swans, everything in between, and mammals as well, and also increasingly domestic animals such as cats and dogs.
And if you wouldn't mind describing, what sort of injuries are these poor animals suffering, Mark?
So the catapults that are being used are not sort of homemade catapults that you may have seen 20, 30 years ago. These are specifically designed with accuracy and power in mind. So for sure, they could be used for quite innocent purposes, shooting targets in gardens or tin cans in gardens. But unfortunately, a lot of the manufacturers certainly pitch these products as hunting weapons, so they cause extreme injuries. If if the shot is accurate and hits something cleanly in the head, then yeah, often that will result in pretty much immediate death. But 9 times out of 10, it doesn't hit and make a clean kill. So it shatters bones, causing open fractures. It penetrates through rib cages and embeds itself into the cavities. Sometimes then that will be followed up with multiple shots. We've had casualties in that have been shot 3 or 4 times with steel ball bearings. And then they've still been left as if dead, but not dead.
It's absolutely awful. And it must be incredibly distressing for your volunteers as well to see those animals and to try and treat them.
Sure, it absolutely is. I mean, as I say, we're a busy rescue, and dealing with, you know, regular casualties is quite stressful as it is. But when things are coming in, you know, that have been injured completely, willfully and unnecessarily, just for entertainment value, it does psychologically take a toll on everybody involved. And members of the public, a large percentage of the casualties that find their way to us are brought in by members of the public. And when the members of the public find out that the bird they've picked up in their garden has actually been shot with a catapult, and we do see a lot of air rifle crime as well.
Following her visit, Helen Whateley has written a letter to the policing minister. I mean, there have been various discussions about legislation and whether rules around catapults need to be changed. Do you have a particular view on it? Because we have spoken to people who are part of catapult clubs and they do it all legally. It's in the woodland. They're shooting at targets. They actually have competitions and they're doing it in the right way. What do you think should happen?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, I wouldn't oppose lawful and legal use of catapults. So, yeah, to see clubs and possibly even youngsters encouraged into clubs, and then part of that introduction to the club could be, you know, reinforcing how inappropriate it is to target wildlife, then, you know, that may be a way forward. But certainly tightening of the law so that if the police do find people in possession of catapults in public places without a good reason, for instance, if they can demonstrate that they're a member of the club and they're going to a club meet or something like that, you know, that would be a reasonable excuse. So I think as it stands at the moment, there are a number of avenues the police can go down. But I think it's proof of intent is often the problem. So I think that there just needs the law needs to be revisited, adjusted and made fit for purpose. I mean, the Wildlife and Countryside Act 1981 and the Animal Welfare Act of 2006 clearly states that using a catapult to cause suffering to animals is an offence. The difficulty comes in catching the offenders and proving intent.
And you can find out more about the centre and donate to help the work that they do by visiting columbineswildlifecare.co.uk.
Kent Online reports.
A local authority in Kent is stepping up measures after a meeting was disrupted by anti-immigration protesters. The demonstrators at Swale Borough Council shouted abuse at members before causing thousands of pounds worth of damage to the building. New CCTV, radio systems and body-worn cameras have been brought in. There's also an ongoing review into placing a screen between the public gallery and the chamber floor. A care home in Whitstable is challenging a rating by the Care Quality Commission after being placed in special measures. Inspectors raised concerns about the number of residents at Harrier Lodge rolling out of bed, with as many as 19 recorded in just 1 month. Bosses at the home say there have been significant improvements in colleague training and workforce stability and are calling for a fairer evaluation. There's been a backlash over replacement power poles in Medway, with some residents saying they look like sticks of celery. UK Power Networks has rolled out new bright green poles in St Mary Hoo on the Hoo Peninsula. Bosses say there's more to come, but the colour will fade over time. You can see pictures of what they look like and let us know what you think by heading to the story at Kent Online. Now, next on the podcast today, we've been hearing from the mum of a young girl from Kent who lives with a rare condition that's left her locked in her own body. 11-year-old Poppy is from a village near Folkestone and she has Rett syndrome. It's a degenerative disease that's rarely seen in boys but affects one in every 10,000 girls. It's caused by a mutation of the X chromosome. Now, there's currently no government funding into Rett syndrome or a search for a cure. Well, Poppy's mum, Victoria, says her daughter's health is getting more complicated as she gets older.
Rett syndrome is caused by a faulty gene. It's a genetic disorder, but it's not hereditary. It's basically like a one-off. It's called a de novo situation, so it just happens. When Poppy was born, everything was completely normal. And then between a year and 15 months, we could see that she wasn't meeting her milestones and she began to regress. And then we had genetic testing and found out that she had Rett syndrome.
And why is it so important for there to be more funding and awareness about Rett syndrome?
So Rett syndrome is just such a devastating condition. There's so many factors to it. It involves so many different things: epilepsy, musculoskeletal problems, inability to mobilise. Girls can't use their hands. So it's a complex and profound disability, and it has multiple disabilities basically. So it's just vital to basically get the word out there so that people know more about it, so that we can increase funding for the vital research that's being done.
And can you tell me a bit about Poppy and, you know, what she's like and what she likes to do?
Yeah, she's a very special girl. We always say that behind her eyes, she's got a really sparkly soul. So her sense of humour is amazing. She laughs at all the right times. She has an eye gaze machine and she uses this to talk. She does really funny things like request cocktails and ask to go to the pub, things like that. And even though she can't speak, you know, she has a really strong personality.
Victoria was speaking there to our reporter, Millie Bowles, and we're ever so grateful to her for sharing their story.
Kent Online reports.
There are plans to build a new clean energy charging hub for HGVs in Dartford. The site at the former Littlebrook Power Station will also provide secure parking for freight trucks and vans, as well as welfare facilities for drivers. It's expected to bring new investment and jobs to the local area. An iconic tank that's been standing in Ashford Town Centre for more than 100 years could soon be on the move again. The First World War armoured vehicle was gifted to the town in 1919. Plans have now been unveiled to move it to the Tank Museum in Dorset. It's the last one of its kind in the country, and local bosses say no decision will be made without a public consultation. And finally, Strictly star Amber Davies is in Kent this week as she takes on her latest role. She's the lead in the touring production of Legally Blonde the musical, playing Elle Woods, a role which was made famous, of course, by Reese Witherspoon in the 2001 film. It's on at the Marlowe Theatre in Canterbury until Saturday.
Kent Online Sport.
Cricket, and Sam Northeast says he wants to help Kent secure a move back to the top flight this season. The batsman has rejoined the county after being involved in Glamorgan's promotion from League Two last summer. The 36-year-old is due to feature in their first game of the season, which is away to Durham on April the 3rd. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. And don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.